Right now, we have a very interesting topic, and that is, how old is too old to be the president of the United States? We have so many leaders who are vying for president. Joe Biden, 76 years old. Bernie Sanders, 77. Elizabeth Warren, 69. Donald Trump is 72. And there's Mike Gravel. Is that his name? Is it Gravel or Gravel? 89 years old. And again, I'm not saying that they are too old. I'm questioning everybody out there. What do you think? Do you think there is an age that is too old to be president? We know that the Constitution says that you must be 35 years old in order to run for president, and John F. Kennedy was the youngest president. Should there be a limit on your age to be president, and are there good reasons for it or not? And with us to discuss this really interesting issue is Dr. Ziad Nasruddin, who is a psychiatrist and the creator of the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, which is a way to screen people for early dementia. And Donald Trump took the test and announced to the world that he got a perfect score. Welcome to the show. Hi, doctor. How are you?
Hello, Karen. How are you? I'm a neurologist, by the way, It's okay. I also deal with psychiatric issues as well.
Okay. I'm sorry. Now we got that right.
No problem.
And so tell me about this test that you devised, the Montreal Cognitive Assessment Test. Tell me how, first of all, how widely is this test used? I looked at the research, and it looks like it's used all over the world.
Yeah, the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, we call it also in short the MoCA test. I devised it almost 20 years ago when I finished my specialization in Alzheimer's at UCLA after my neurology specialization. And it covers most cognitive domains that can be affected with the aging and with the dementia. So it usually covers domains like short-term memory, concentration, attention, orientation, calculation, abstract thinking, etc.
And generally,
it's being used around the world. I mean, almost in 200 countries. It's been so popular because it's very short, 10 minutes, and it is very sensitive for early impairment compared to the existing tests.
Can anyone take this test, doctor, or do you have to go to a hospital or a doctor to have it implemented?
It was designed to be done by a health professional, not to be self-administered, but we're working right now on a self-administered version.
And what does it test for, and what does it not test for?
It detects cognitive impairment, meaning short-term memory loss, which is common when we get older. But what we're looking for, we're trying to detect actually Alzheimer's disease, which is the most common cause of memory impairment as we get older, obviously after age 70. Also detects impairment in concentration, executive functions, planning, organization, calculation, and abstract thinking, as well as visual-spatial skills. But all this in very short time, like 10 minutes each minute, we test a different function with a different item that assesses a different brain area. So it's a quick brain cognitive scan, we call it.
Let's, and I want to continue this conversation. I want to talk to you a little bit about what signs there are of dementia and Alzheimer's. I want to talk about the difference between the two diagnoses. And then I want to talk about my topic, about can we test for a competent president? And looking at the skill set that a president has to have, how does this kind of test weigh in on whether or not the person is too old to run? Can you hold for us for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with Dr. Nasruddin.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you if you're young at heart.
We're talking about the aging process, and we're talking to Dr. Ziad Nasruddin, who's a neurologist who developed the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, which is a way to screen people for early signs of dementia. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining me. So can you describe a little bit about, people use the term dementia and Alzheimer's. Is one a subset of the other? What is the difference?
Yes, dementia is a general term that that comprises Alzheimer's. There's different types of dementia. We call dementia of the Alzheimer type. You can have dementia of the vascular type. But we're not using anymore much the word dementia. It's becoming more and more found to be too judgmental. And so we're now using Alzheimer's disease. We're using vascular cognitive impairment, where we're trying to relate to different causes of dementia. So dementia is just loss of capacity, of cognitive capacity, and inability of the subject to be able to take care of themselves. this is what means dementia in general, but can be multiple causes for it.
There, human beings are living longer. We know that. And my question is, because human beings are living longer, does that mean they are staying fresh mentally longer? Meaning at age maybe 50 years ago, people in their 70s might have been having some impairment, and now they're not because they're living longer. Does that make sense?
I mean, I think we haven't been exploring cognitive impairment in the past as much as we are now, because the life expectancy was much shorter. So whenever they would get more impaired in their cognition, we'd call them their senile or senility, and Alzheimer's disease wasn't that recognized as a cause of mental impairment or cognitive impairment as we age. But we do see that the frequency of cognitive impairment is extremely high at age 75, almost 20 to 25% of the population at 75 has dementia, and most commonly is Alzheimer's. So it's one out of four almost, and one out of five at 75, which is the current age range, I mean, that we have for the candidates. So that's why I think it is concerning to see that we are having candidates at that age. But at the same time, we should not, I think, put a limit to that, but we should probably be screening candidates for this possibility of cognitive impairment.
Now, mandatory retirement seemed to be, when I first started practicing law 33 years ago, there was mandatory retirement all over the place in all kinds of jobs. And I think I've seen that diminish quite a bit. Only I see it in fields where perhaps, you know, your physical ability to do the job might pose a problem. What do you think about mandatory retirement? Knowing what you know about the brain and how the brain ages, do you think that making hard and fast rules for people in the workplace is a good idea or a bad idea?
I think it would be a bad idea to promote mandatory retirement, because the brain, if it's not being worked, it will decay faster and will not regenerate as fast or not create synapses. Most studies have shown that people who retire, they get worse after retirement physically and cognitively. So mental activity with the work is probably keeping the brain sharper. So I think it's better to keep people at work and to keep encourage them not to have mandatory retirement, especially for activities that require mental capacities.
So for my listeners, and we have some older listeners here, staying on that topic, for those of you out there who are listening and you're retired or you're retiring or, you know, you're taking it easy, doctor, what would be some activities that people should engage in that really are good for preventing this kind of decay or diminution in cognitive abilities?
And the best activity is actually socialization, like meeting people, going out, discussing the news, being aware of what's happening. So socialization seems to be the most important stimulant for the neurons. We can also do like card games or play other, like bridge or other types of stimulating mental activities, or to do a volunteer work, or to be part of a administration of a building, or to do some activities that are require memorization and that will stimulate the neurons.
And how have those things been tested, where you take people who are active, say, in social things, active playing, doing crossword puzzles and doing those types of things, and just comparing them with people who are not doing those things, and you've looked at and tested them for their aptitudes?
Yeah, actually, multiple studies have shown, but there are retrospective studies, you know, showing that patients with dementia were not involved as much as patients without dementia in these activities in the 10 to 20 years before the dementia started. So it's there's a lot of indirect studies showing the benefit of being active.
And for those of my listeners who are approaching those age groups, are there things other than what you're talking about, staying busy, staying active, being social, testing out your brain and using it, are there some other physical things that help the brain function,
yes,
nutrition-wise, physical activity-wise?
Yes. Yeah, nutrition has been a lot studied, and most of the time we have come up with recommendation that the Mediterranean diet, meaning that it's a fish based and more vegetables and fruits and nuts and berries, have the best like protection for prevention compared to other types of diets, and compared to the red meat, compared to the fat, compared to the dairy products. So these have been shown to be helpful. In terms of the exercise, it's physical activity has been shown in multiple studies, but short-term studies that patients who are physically active or subjects who are physically active have are less prone, if they do 20 minutes a day or more physical activity, to get dementia or cognitive impairment.
So it sounds like just a good, healthy diet, good, healthy exercise always seems to be the answer to a lot of our...
There is hearing, there's also hearing impairment, because hearing impairment seems to be more frequent, I mean, when we get older, and we get less stimulation to the brain if we are hearing impaired. So hearing impairment seems to be something unrecognized, and that's causing a lot of less stimulation, the more isolation if we're not hearing the conversation. So it's something that should be looked into. And also sleep apnea is a common problem when we get older. So if we're getting less oxygen while we're sleeping, we might have more cognitive impairment when we're awake the next day.
Ah, that's very interesting, and it makes sense that if you know people who have hearing problems and don't want to get that hearing aid, they are excluded,
exactly.
And people get kind of angry with them because it's frustrating to be around someone who may not be hearing, and people tune out. And very, very interesting. And again, inheritance. How is if you look at your parents and you see if they were active mentally in their 80s and they're doing well, does that bode well for you?
Yes, that's for sure. There are some genetic factors that increase the likelihood of getting dementia, which is, we call the ApoE gene, ApoE4 gene, and up to probably 20% of patients with Alzheimer's compared to some 4% of the general population have that gene. So there's increased likelihood of dementia if you do have that gene. But even if you do have that gene, we can still decrease the risk of Alzheimer's if you do those stimulating activities. And also there's another important prevention is patients who have diabetes, high blood pressure and cholesterol. If they treat those conditions, their risk of Alzheimer's also does decrease, as its circulation to the brain is also important to improve cognitive functions.
Interesting. Well, let's talk about the topic at issue, which is the president. When a presidential candidate would, for instance, you know, just hypothetically take your test, I'm not talking about anyone in particular here because I'm not going to get political, but if a presidential candidate takes your test and scores perfectly on it and does well, does that mean that person you believe is mentally fit to be a president, or is this test just not something that tests that kind of those kinds of issues?
I mean, the test is useful at that age because how common these, how prevalent, I mean, the conditions like Alzheimer's are at the age of 72 or 75. So I think it's important to make sure that these cognitive functions are okay. And the test is very sensitive for mild impairment. So it is reassuring if someone scores well on that test. But the test does not obviously, I mean, check for fitness to be present. It's a test for cognitive function, specific one that, like I enumerated before.
So it might be a start. It might be one prong of something that would be helpful to at least eliminate the idea that one out of four people over the age of, I think, 75, you know, might have these problems. So this would be a good sign. But, you know, I suppose my opinion on these, you know, to be president, there's so many things you need to do. You need to be a good decision maker, which doesn't always mean, you know, I watch these debates and, you know, some of people are very quick-witted. But, you know, being quick-witted might and quick-talking may not be a good sign. Maybe you want a president who's going to think and be a little more cerebral, or even the physical, this physical stress on a president who's flying to different countries, who's staying up late, who's reading things. I mean, those seem to be important factors as well.
I think, the personality of the president talks a lot about what type of personality he is. Is he the type that is empathetic and he listens to the population and he follows what the people want and he's considerate and reasonable and logical in his thoughts and in his propositions? Cognition is obviously a basic thing that we need to have, like as a minimum, to be able to be a president. But the rest is mostly personality, I think, and the logic and the attributes that are not necessarily due in relation to the memory and language functions. Yeah.
Well, I think that my prediction is that into the future we're going to have some expert who's going to come up with a test, the presidential fitness test, and it's going to be a physical test, a mental test, a personality disorder test, a verbal test, and that each candidate is going to have to take it, and we'll see how they score. What do you think about that?
I think it's going to be tough to have that test approved by both parts of the Congress, that they will be both agreeing to have such a test that would be reliable enough. Because, as I said, I don't think the fitness to be president can be easily measured by a score. I think some of the elements are definitely difficult to estimate, and I think it's mainly the ideas that the president is proposing that the population has to decide. But maybe they were telling us, I mean, the media, that the mocha test is maybe too simple for the level of intellect of the president, which is correct as well. And we were working on an executive version of the test, because we do have an illiterate version of the test, mocha, which is for illiterate patients. And we have the standard mocha that the president passed. But we're working on a high-level one for executives like physicians, judges, presidents. So this is would be a good idea to have something a little bit more enhanced or more complex. Yeah.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Nasruddin. Thank you so much for joining us.